Good morning. Let's call the meeting to order. Let the record reflect that it is 11:30, Thursday, February 5th. We do have a quorum joining us so far. Representative Johnson, Representative Stutz, excuse me, Representative Artez, and Representative Wool. We should see the majority leader here shortly, and Representative Tilton does have another committee, but so if you could turn your cell phones off or put them on silent, we would much appreciate it. It's less embarrassing, and you don't have to buy any donuts. So we do have two items on the agenda today. The second hearing on HB1 State Arctic Policy is back before us. And then after we take action on that bill, we will move to the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission's reports. There should you should have three documents. Joining us is Representative Tilton as well. So we do have a CS before us. So Representative Stutz, could you please put the CS on record for purposes of discussion? Just move CS for House Bill 1, version PAPA.
Okay. I move that we have CS House Bill 1, version P.
Okay. Motion, no objection to the motion to have the CS in front of us, version PAPA. And I'll open it up for discussion. I'll object for the purposes of discussion. So with the new CS, there you should have in your packet explanations of changes from version ECHO to version PAPA. Is there any question on the changes to from to the CS changes? Is there any questions on these? So maybe Rob, you can just briefly go through some of a couple of these for me for the committee record. Many of these are more just slight changes. For example, on page 3, lines 25 and 26, permanent participants are they are it is a proper noun, so we capitalize those. That's just an example. So Rob, could you go over the ones with significant change, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Rob Earl, staff to the chair. Well, on page 2, line 9, you can see we deleted that whole clause. Not that it's obviously important, but we just didn't feel it was quite important enough not to try to make it a little more concise and take that out. And then you can see on page 3, lines 6 and 7, at the end of D, we added a reference to coastal erosion, permafrost melt, and ocean acidification, just because those are such important issues. And also on page 3, line 11, we inserted a new F mentioning the fisheries industry. And I guess I would point out the aforementioned permanent participant clause on page 3, line 25 through 26. The way it's worded now, it refers to the permanent participants with Alaskan members. So that would be 4 out of the 6, and we thought it was important to concentrate on our own there. So that change was made. And I think that is probably the salient points, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any questions on changes to the bill creating the CS version PAPA by committee? Okay, I'll remove my objection. It's the PAPA has been accepted by the committee. Now we can move to public testimony. Is there anyone who has not signed up that wishes to testify? Dr. Butler, are you here to testify?
I'm primarily here to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. there anyone else signed up, Rob? Representative Guttenberg, did you wish to testify or join us at the table? Thank you. Well, one's lovely and all right. If there's no public testimony, we will close public testimony and go to committee discussion. Any member of the committee wish to make comment? This is your chance, Ms. Representative Guttenberg. You're good? Okay. All right, seeing no committee discussion, the chair will entertain a motion to move HB 1 from committee.
I move that we move...
Representative Stutz.
Oh, excuse me.
That's right.
Through the chair. I move that we move House Bill number 1 out of committee.
With individual recommendations and the 4-0 fiscal notes?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any objection? See no objection. The bill is move on to the next stop, and we will take it at ease to sign the committee report. Okay. If you could, turn to the final report, go ahead and just let the rules chair start the signatures. In the final report, there is an opening letter from the two co-chairs, and it spells out it's our foreword that spells out where Alaska has been, where it's going, how we're being impacted by others. And explains, in essence, what it explains is that we have the Alaskans have a people first to approach to a lot of initiatives and policies, and we also view that as an important vision for Alaskans. And of course, the introduction is a strong conversation about where the legislature should view itself in the discussion of Arctic policy. Again, we don't want others to decide for us. The executive branch has an important role, but the legislature, as the purse string holders and as people that make the laws for the citizens of Alaska, and of course develop policy, is that the legislature should know what it means to be an Arctic resident. The legislature should think Arctic. That is, in essence, what the Policy Commission has explained. Of course, there's information about the commission. There's information about who those people that are on the commission. The Senate president, that was Gary Stevens at the time, and the current speaker, Mike Chenault, they chose these people from many Alaskans, and they were chosen because of their expertise on individual areas that they work on. And it was a good group of people, but we did have disagreements, a lot of disagreements. And so this is what we've come to. This is the report that we have given to the legislature, and I hope the report is good, but more importantly, the implementation plan, as I explained earlier off the record, is the implementation plan is a set of initiatives, projects, and recommendations that will guide the legislature, the executive branch, and the federal government. And so I hope you've had time to read it, and I think that it's important that we have these conversations, obviously, with recent events by others that want to dictate to us what's best for us, is that we should keep this in mind. So I'd open up to anyone that would like to make a comment before we go to the implementation plan. Mr. Chairman, Rules Chair. You're good? Okay. With that, Nels Andreasen, are you online?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Could you please place yourself on the record, and could you walk us through, take a few minutes and walk us through the implementation plan?
Yes, sir. Thank you. For the record, my name is Nels Andreasen, the Executive Director of the Institute of the North, and a commissioner on the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission representing international Arctic organizations. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for this invitation to discuss and present on the AAPC implementation plan. And it's great to do this after hearing that Arctic policy is moving forward. The implementation plan really is very different than the policy. The policy is very high-level principles that will be used to make decisions. The implementation plan is a suite of options, or provides a suite of options for state policymakers, for the executive branch, and for others to work from. It's not directive, but does suggest what the Commission feels are important recommendations for moving the state policy forward. The implementation plan has sorted its strategic recommendations into four lines of effort, and these, again, don't tie back directly to the policy, but really support and strengthen the policy. And in shorthand, you can see these lines of effort as promoting economic and resource development, addressing the response capacity gap, supporting healthy communities, and strengthening science and research. And to the extent that the Commission strove for balance, I would suggest that these four lines of effort are together fairly balanced. The recommendations within each line of effort, however, are very direct about what the recommendation hopes to accomplish on behalf of that line of effort. And I can walk through to some extent, and I don't need to read through all the recommendations, but for strategic line of effort number one, the state of Alaska will promote economic and resource development. This is a fundamental recognition by the Commission that economic and resource development are really the building blocks from which the state can deliver on its commitments to its citizens, being able to provide public services and support culture and economy and society and a healthy environment at the same time. A couple of the recommendations that you'll find within this line of effort then are, if we think about, you know, what are the opportunities in the Arctic for economic development, here we focused on quite a few. I think some big ones, of course, would be a continued support for oil and gas development, onshore and offshore. We thought that continued mineral exploration and development, and prioritized exploration development in 1G would be very beneficial. We discuss maritime and fisheries activities. We talk about exporting our knowledge in the form of microgrid deployment and other mechanisms for supporting the economy of the state and the region. So I'm going to run through, having done that, I'll run through very quickly a couple of the other lines of efforts and some recommendations from those, and then talk about how they're framed and formatted within the implementation plan. The second line of effort that the state of Alaska will address the response capacity gap in Alaska's Arctic is really, it comes back to if there's going to be increased activity and economic and resource development, then we want to make sure Alaska does and the U.S. does and all eight nations have committed to, making sure that there's the necessary response capacity in place. And when we say response capacity, we're talking about being able to respond to search and rescue, to natural disasters, to oil spill response. Really, these are the safeguards that we want to have in place as activity takes place. And within this line of effort, we've talked about improving our mapping, charting, bathymetry, et cetera, so that we really understand and can visualize and operate within the region better, that we should see better and more public and private investment in support of critical search and rescue, oil spill response, and emergency response infrastructure. And infrastructure can range from ships and response vehicles to ports, places of refuge, communication technology, etc. We've talked about oil spill response organizations and strengthening the state's ability through DEC's spill prevention and response program to be prepared and ready for response.
So, we're in this recommendation, and I have some suggestions and recommendation in the first line of effort. But, for example, since we're in spill prevention and response needs, is that we should invite testimony from the U.S. Coast Guard on Arctic Council's Agreement on Cooperation and Marine Oil Preparedness. That's Recommendation 2E, and that could be done by a couple of committees. Returning to recommendation number one, strategic line of effort number one, for example, Representative Tilton, is that it calls for developing a mechanism for resource production-related revenue sharing for impacted districts, and so you could ask CNRA to go in front of your committee and say, this is a directive, it's from a report, and it specifically asks you to consider the options of how revenue sharing, say offshore revenue sharing, would benefit certain communities and what's their possible plan. That's what I could ask you to engage CNRA on that recommendation. And then Representative Stutz is moving over in, excuse me, I should have done this when he was under recommendation, but 1F is there's the legislative actions that your committee could consider during session sometime. And down there, and there is that engage the executive branch on how we can take these recommendations from the Policy Commission to strengthen our capacity related to fisheries. Those are just a couple of examples so far that I think how other legislators can get involved and use their committee processes. So sorry for that interruption, Nils. Could you please continue on?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and for contextualizing after I've really quickly reviewed number 3 and 4, I'll go into more detail about what's included under each recommendation. And the legislative actions that you've pointed out are something that we've started to provide but certainly could be expanded. For strategic line of effort number 3, again, the state of Alaska will support healthy communities. These recommendations range from delivery of water and sanitation to further supporting energy, addressing power and heating costs. We have discussed public education and outreach to some extent around natural resource management and looking at workforce development. Under strategic line of effort number 4, the state of Alaska will strengthen Alaska's Arctic science and research. This is really something that we see in all eight nations and a commitment by the Arctic Council. But it seems that, the Commission really felt strongly that the University of Alaska brings a lot to the table for the state and that having the university better respond to the state's interests is going to be powerful. So looking at opportunities to invest in the university's research program and to leverage it on behalf of Alaska citizens was very important to the commission. And so you see recommendations having to do with that investment and leveraging with collaborative enterprises, data integration, and anything from monitoring to baseline data collection. Really, this is connected to all three of the other lines of effort in support of healthy communities, economic and resource development, and response capacity. So that's how the implementation plan is structured around these four lines of effort and with strategic recommendations listed under these. There is a standalone recommendation on page 8 that talks about creating a legislative committee on Arctic issues, and it's encouraging that both the House and the Senate have done this in one form or another. On page 9, you'll see that we give a brief description and some narrative around promoting economic and resource development, identifying some challenges, and really using this as a way to scope out the line of effort. And then on page 10, you'll see your first real recommendation, the strategic recommendation under line of effort number 1, having to do with to facilitate the development of Arctic port systems in the Bering Strait region to support export and regional development. Again, these are potential recommendations that policymakers and others could take up, adjust as necessary, and develop. And again, what the commission has done is provided these as a suite of options, potential considerations, recommendations for the legislature and others. And it's done some work then to give you the justification and some thinking about what potential next steps might be. So we've preliminarily identified DOT as the lead agency, to lead state agency to tackle Arctic port systems, giving you some justification for why this is important, not only to Alaska, but to Alaska's place in the Arctic. The commission's given a quick review of the resources that are needed, both fiscal and resources that could be leveraged from partners, and then listed some of those partners that could be engaged on behalf of this recommendation. Finally, the commission described how this might be executed, how this recommendation could get done, and some potential legislative actions that the legislature could take up and further advance this discussion. And at the end of the page, you'll see a way that this recommendation success can be evaluated and how we can think about whether we've hit the bar on this one. So each of the strategic recommendations follow this same basic format. They don't commit the state or the legislature to anything, but what they do is provide a fairly robust approach to how each of these recommendations might be taken up and moved forward. And from what I've seen across the Arctic, really the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission has gone much further than any other nation in developing its implementation plan, really providing some specificity and clarity that's above and beyond what we've seen from other plans. So this is a guidebook. I think legislators and others can review these, and if there is something of most interest to you or to a committee, that could be taken up then and further developed either within this scope or an expanded scope or revised for each of the recommendations. And this just provides a good jumping off point for that. I think with that, I don't need to review every recommendation. You can read through these. I think there's something like 35 recommendations, a modest amount. In this fiscal environment, you're probably thinking most about the fiscal resources needed, and I would only suggest that there are a number of recommendations that are process-oriented that don't depend so much on funding that might be low-hanging fruit for moving forward. And then there are also recommendations that will depend more on federal or other funding or private sector funding that might be moved forward without challenging the state's purse strings in any way. But you will, I mean, if you added up all the resources necessary for all 35, it's a significant lift, and I don't think the commission's recommending or anticipating that the legislature or others take it all in one bite. But again, it does provide a good stepping off point for addressing each of these issues in the future for the benefit and responding to Alaska's Arctic policy.
Okay, thank you, Nils. Is there any questions for Nils from the committee? Seeing none. So, Dr. Butler, I'm going to call upon you to do a test response from the administration. So, recommendation 3F, it's about food security for the Arctic. And it says here we should consider a food security policy as it relates to the cultural health of indigenous people and all Alaskans. Could you, from a health perspective, could you take a couple minutes and address it? Please put yourself on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jay Butler, Chief Medical Officer in the Department of Health and Social Services, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you this morning. I can certainly address the importance of food security in Arctic Alaska, particularly when we get off the road system. Many people live by a subsistence lifestyle, that hunting and fishing is not just recreational, but actually something that is required to be able to depend on having a good source of protein as well as micronutrients in the diet. In terms of the administration's stand on this particular one, particularly since the Department of Fish and Game is the lead, I really can't give you a feedback, any feedback on that. Certainly the concept of maintaining food security we recognize is every bit as important as the concepts of food safety, if not even more important.
Thank you, Doctor. And I mean, I wasn't picking on you, but this is just an example of how there's many layers here, and is that food security, for example, does promote a healthy lifestyle. And so I appreciate you putting yourself on the record for that.
My pleasure.
Okay. Any comments or questions for the committee on this issue, on the implementation plan? All right. Well, appreciate the committee taking the time to listen to what the comments were today, how we can go forward with this plan, and if there's no other comments on it, I'd like to announce that next Thursday we will have a committee hearing, same time, same place. We'll have the Travel Industry Association give us an overview, Sarah Leonard, and then the Department of Commerce and Community and Economic Development, Division of Economic Development Director Joe Jacobson. And then on Thursday, February 19th, we'll have our confirmation hearing for Commerce Commissioner designee Chris Laddick, who is, of course, from he's a current city manager of Unalaska. So, seeing no other business before us, the committee is adjourned at 12:03 p.m.